Hello and welcome to the Beacon Group's noon step meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. My name is Desiree and I'm an alcoholic. In an effort to lessen distraction to others and to respect our speakers, you will not be able to unmute yourself during the meeting. Let's start this meeting with a moment of silence followed by the serenity prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Amen. AA Preamble. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of people who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution. Does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and to help other alcoholics achieve sobriety. This is an open meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous and all are welcome to attend, but we ask that only alcoholics participate. If you are new to AA or new to the Beacon Group, we strongly recommend home group membership and sponsorship. If you are new or not so new and looking for a sponsor, please put your name and number in the chat. If you have worked all 12 steps as outlined in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, have had a spiritual experience and awakening, and are willing to sponsor, please also put your name and number in the chat. The chat will remain open during the meeting, except while the speaker is sharing. Also in the chat, you will find our AA quote of the day. The quote source will always be from AA literature. Our speaker will share for 30 minutes on the step of the day, which I will time. Then we will split into breakout rooms for small group discussions. Each group has a moderator who will divide the time equally and invite each person to share. Questions are encouraged during the sharing part of the meeting. When you share, please be sure your environment is quiet and free of distractions. Breakout room discussions end at 12:54, followed by day counts, announcements, and the Lord's Prayer. And I have asked Lee to read the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. Lee?
Oh, I know. I'm so sorry. My finger just went right in the middle of my screen.
Oh, no problem.
I'm Lee and I'm an alcoholic. I'm going to read the 12 steps of AA. One, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. And eight, made a list of all the persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for the knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to alcoholics and practice these principles in all our affairs.
Thank you so much, Lee. Today, we will hear a talk on step 11. Step 11 sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. Please give a warm welcome to Bobette F. from Malvern, Pennsylvania. Welcome, Bobette. Am I saying that correctly, Bobette?
Hi. Hi, excuse me. Hi, Bobette, alcoholic from Malvern, Pennsylvania. That's perfect. I am. First, thank you, Sunny, for asking me to speak. I am never around during the day. So when you asked me to speak, I thought, wow. And then I thought, this is great. It's always a privilege. It's always a privilege to give back. And I have to say, when we have some time in the rooms, we think we know the program, and gee, let somebody else take the opportunity. But that's not what the big book tells us, which is the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. It tells us that we give back willingly. It tells us in the 12th step that no matter what, our hand is extended. And I must say, and we have a newcomer in here. Great. Do we have any newcomers? Let me just take a look. And if you are a newcomer, I'm going to talk about the 11th step, which I used day one. So sit back, strap in, get comfortable, and I'll tell you what my experience has been. And AA is experiential. So try to relate and just let your mind open. I always say the set aside prayer before I start speaking, which basically says I go to God and I ask God, which is my higher power, to let me set aside everything I think I know about AA, everything I think I know about the steps, everything I think I know about God, you God. Let me have an open mind today, right now, at this new moment in time. And so with that prayer in mind, let me share with you how I use this 11th step. 31 years later, I don't do it perfectly. My sobriety date is September 9th, 1991. I have 31 years of sobriety, as I said, don't do it perfectly. But what I do do, and what I try to do, and what I'm passionate about doing is seeking deeper and going deeper and learning more. Why? To have a more harmonious, loving, grander life. Expansive life. That's why I came in here. After two cardiac arrests and sitting in an emergency room, lying in emergency room, having my stomach pumped and having a nurse look at me and say, "Oh, she's a drug addict. We gotta go on to others." I still didn't scare. I still didn't stop. It took me 5 years to put one day together. And in those 5 years, I went to AA meetings and I would have my cocktail and I'd have my big book. Not this one. This is a large print big book, but I'd have my big book and I'd be reading it with my drink and I'd be going through it. You get it when you get it. And I got it when I came in on my knees and there was nothing left. Alcohol no longer was my solution. It wasn't working. It wasn't working for life. And I had every reason to drink. I had every reason. I was the youngest woman in my position. I worked for a major international banking firm on Wall Street. I was a superstar. They wheeled me out all dressed up. They wanted me the way they wanted me to be dressed. They put me in front of the biggest accounts in the world. I handled hundreds of millions of dollars, which is nothing today. That was 1983. Today it's in the billions, but we were talking in the millions. I had no business being there, frankly. I was just at the right place at the right time. Today I'm a floral designer. I have been for the past 10 years, and I design floral experiences. That is who I am. But in 1981, actually, it started in 1981 to 2001. I was in a position that had nothing to do with who I was, truly. And 10 years into that, in 1991, and 10 years into Wall Street and flying all over, waking up in cities and saying, I remember one trip in particular, we're landing in Dallas and I come too. And the stewardess says to me, or the steward said to me, we're ready to land. And I said, where are we? I was supposed to be headed back to New York City. And I know this is a true story because I have sober friends who were there who were not alcoholic. I should say they're civilians who can tell me that I didn't exaggerate that story. But this was my life. And as I said, it took what it took, which was a very boring day. It was a Monday morning. And I called my friend who had been bringing me to AA meetings from time and again, one of the traders on the floor of this major investment banking firm. Actually, I can tell you what it is because it no longer exists. It was Lehman Brothers Kuhn Loeb, the original Lehman Brothers Kuhn Loeb, where they had one woman in my group. That was me. You know, I was always the outside person. And Andy would take me to meetings, and I can use his name because I got his okay. And he would take me to meetings, and I would have a drink before and a drink after, and sometimes I would come smashed. But I wanted to hang out with my buddy on the trading floor to find out what the hell was going, what was going on, you know, in the marketplace. And it was a great relationship. It was all about what can you give me? And then that day came when I called him at 6 in the morning. And the reason I'm telling you a little bit about my story, because generally I do not, I think it's much more important to talk about the step because it goes right into this 11th step, right into it. I called him at 6 in the morning and I said, Andy, and I'm done. I'm done. I'd spent 2 weeks up at Martha's Vineyard. He had suggested I go to meetings. There were meetings up there. He had found them for me. And I said, why? I'm partying. I'm out of here. Going to the vineyard. No interest in meeting, AA meetings. Why? When I got home, was up all night. Alcohol hadn't, was not working for me. Some of the packaged goods also, but the alcohol, I was an alcoholic. I am an alcoholic. I am a recovered alcoholic. And I'm privileged to say that today. And Andy said, if you can meet me at 6:15 p.m. and one of my sponsees is on today, who actually has been to that meeting. It's a huge cathedral on 72nd Street on the Upper West Side of Manhattan, New York City, and it has, you go down into the basement. They call it the flight deck. And they call it the flight deck because there's so many newcomers and there are at least 100 people in the meeting. It is fantastic. It is a community and there you can feel God's presence. And the priest comes down from upstairs because he's a recovered alcoholic. I mean, your higher power is there. And that was my first sober day. And at that meeting, after the meeting, Andy said, I want you to meet Lee. Lee, a woman. Lee said, oh, hello. And I said, hi, how are you? And she said, I'll see you tomorrow at 9 a.m. And I'm like, what? Who? What? And Andy said, this is your sponsor. I can't, you know, men with the men, women with the women. And frankly, I can't do it. Today, that's not the case. I have many men. In fact, my temporary sponsor is a guy who is brilliant. But then you know, Andy said, you've got it. I'm done with you. And Lee said, I'll meet you at 9 a.m. tomorrow morning at my apartment. Here's my address. She wrote it down. This is pre-cell phone, ladies and gentlemen. Way back. And oops, I forgot to set my timer and I'm going to set it just to set it. Give me one sec just so I don't go over. And I said, I work late. She said, oh, I know you do. I know all about you, sweetheart. I know all about you. I will see you. And what she did is she brought out a big book when I went over there. And Andy said, just go. I'll cover you at work. Just go. And she brought out a big book and we started reading The Doctor's Opinion. And let me take you from that to the 11th step. But let me tell you, the most important thing is that she qualified me as an alcoholic. And the reason I qualify as an alcoholic, my definition, and what I read in the doctor's opinion is that once I start, I can't stop. And I can't stop starting. And what do I mean by that? Well, we all know what it means by once I start, I can't stop. But what does it mean? Which is, gee, I'll have a couple drinks. And then after my couple drinks, oh, yeah, I'll just have one more. Yeah, okay, keep going. I'm fine. I'm good. I always took my team out for drinks after work. They all knew that meant an entire night of drinking. I would be the last one at the bar. They would all go home. But what I mean by I can't stop, I couldn't stop starting, was that I would wake up with a wicked bad hangover. I blacked out. I felt awful. I really had terribly bad hangovers, horribly bad. And I made a deal with myself. And I said, this is not a problem. I'm just going to sleep all day, generally on a Sunday. I'm going to sleep all day. Monday is a big day. I have my day all set up, all printed out by hand. No computers, right? 4 o'clock, I'm just going to have a little cocktail. Just a drink. Bloody Mary. No big deal. No big deal. It just went on and on and on. And that's the mental obsession. I tell myself, I can do this. And I had the physical. I had the physical, which was my DNA is different than my husband, who is a civilian. I crave. I have that allergy. If you choose to call it an allergy, I do. And I'm getting to the 11th step in 1 minute, because the 11th step is not, it is mandatory, as I tell my girls. It's not an option. 11th step is absolutely mandatory. For 31 years, have I been doing it every day? Absolutely not. I do the best I can. But I can tell you, when I do it every day, when I do it, my life just glides. And when I let it go for a couple of weeks or a month or so, I start hitting, you know, once you put the booze down, and that was the thing that saved us, it's the behavior. I'm not worried I'm going to pick up a drink. I'm worried that I'm going to curl up in a ball and die. And what happened with Lee, and I'm going to go right back to that, is that she took me through, we started reading. And what is so beautiful about the first 164 pages, but the first 40 pages up until We Agnostics, is the story of Bill. And I could understand it because he was a stockbroker and I was on Wall Street. And so I could relate to some of the stuff. And it was a nice little story. And she had me underline. She had me look up words. And she had me ask myself questions. And this went on for weeks. Now, that first day I met with her during the day, and then we met at night. Because I had a responsibility to show up to my job, no matter how I could show up. And there were times when she had to come during a Sunday morning and set up my entire closet. So I knew Monday what I wore, Tuesday what I wore, Wednesday what I wore, because I couldn't select my clothes. I had to call her some mornings and say, I'm getting out of bed now. And by phone, oh, by the way, we didn't have rotary phones, but by phone. And say, I'm getting out of bed, and I'm getting into the shower. That is how so terribly, terribly sick I was. And then I would call her and say, I'm going downstairs and getting into a cab, not allowed to walk to work. If I walk to work, stop at a liquor store. In 24 hours, you could get alcohol in New York City, the local bodega. Everybody sells it. I had to take a cab, took a cab, and I followed suggestions. I was so broken, so utterly broken, that I took every suggestion. If she told me that I had to eat lettuce leaves for the rest of my life or tree bark, I would have done it to get that peace, that the anxiety level, to bring it down. And sure enough, it happened. But here's what happened in between. And yes, going to meetings, critical. For me, going to meetings 3 times a day that first year was really important. That fellowship was so, so important. And it talks about it in a vision for you. Absolutely important, because you learn to live without the substance. You learn, it's a we program, how others live without the substance. But the other half of that is the spiritual life is not a theory. You have to live it. Lee had me in step 11, day one. She gave me a little big book, which are still available. And I have a stack of them. So if no one can find them, give me a call. I'll gladly send it to you. Free of charge. They're fabulous. She page 86. I would walk off in my high heels, my Chanel suit, prance off the trading floor into the ladies' room with my pocketbook, get on my knees, pull out my little big book, and go right to page 86. And why did I do that? Here we ask God for inspiration, and I'm on the bottom of 86. You don't have to turn to it, I'll read it. An intuitive thought or a decision. The clear-cut instructions for that spiritual life, which we must pick up. And ladies and gentlemen, I say this, or gals and guys, I say this because once we take a newcomer, we bring them in and we ask them to put the booze down, the solution, we must give them tools. And she did. She told me that there would be a point in time when she would not be available. And I may not have page 86 and 88 in front of me. But it would be either me going to the booze or God. It would be the booze or God. And had I not sharpened that muscle of 86 through 88, I would be doomed to go back as an alcoholic to what I know best. These pages hold the gems, the cash and prizes, the big stuff on how to get, not the cash and prizes, let me take that back, the big stuff on how to work this program, this spiritual life. You know, once we admit we're powerless over alcohol and that our life is unmanageable, and that we go to the second step and we have to find that God, it is only in this 11th step for me and my gals and the many gals that I work with in our local rehab that we have found our higher power, whatever the universe, the greater good. That this is the only way we can find it is in these pages. And why does the book on page 86 start with? It does not start with, it does not give us the opportunity to start with day one. No, it starts with when we retire at night. Why? Because when we're reading this, we have already woken up. The day has already started. It's already started. So when we get to this in the big book, we can prep ourselves for when we retire at night. Now, this is my interpretation, my understanding. There are many, many understandings, so please just follow with me and you make the decision. What I love about AA is the questions. I ask my gals, who I love, my sponsees, who I am like mama bear. I just smother them, sometimes way too much. But you know, ask the questions. And ask them to your higher power. When we retire at night, we're asking our higher power. Were we resentful? And what Lee had me do in the very beginning, and I love this, is that she had me keep a notebook and just keep a notebook and write these things down. Was I selfish, dishonest, or afraid? When we'd go through each one of those, and you can do that with your sponsees and with your sober sisters. I'm not going to go through that. I'm just going to give you the guidelines of how I work the 11th step then and today, same way. Do I owe an apology? Have I kept something to ourselves which should be discussed with another person at once? Were we kind and loving toward all? What could we have done better? Were we thinking of ourselves most of the time? Yes, we all selfish. This 12-step program, moving step selfishness down, bringing it down, bringing the love of humanity up. And it's a constant, ever-evolving experience. And that question takes us to step three. So you can see how beautifully these steps are so beautifully intertwined. Because step three talks all about the selfishness. And Lee believed, and I believe. Now, many, many people don't agree. In fact, my spiritual leader doesn't do it this way, but I do. Is that I take my girls right into 11 so they can get to 3. So they can find, and 2 and 3, actually, they can find that higher power. Because if we are going to our higher power right here, because it says to us, as I continue to read, you know, are we thinking about what we could do for others? That's step 3. What we could pack into the stream of life. We have to be careful not to drift into worry, remorse, or morbid reflection. That's step 3, that self-pity. Why is this happening to me? And I had an experience with that a couple weeks ago when cancer reemerged, and it's done and finished, operated. Doesn't have to be discussed. What has to be discussed is the thinking that happened. And that I did discuss with my temporary sponsor, with my spiritual leader. Morbid reflection. The heck with this. You know, I'm tired. I'm done. I'm not doing the work anymore. I just want to go to bed. I don't want to do the operation. All human thought. That human thought must be smashed, and we do it in 4 and 5. We write out our inventories. 6 and 7 gives us that opportunity to isolate that those issues. But this 11th step is not optional. We strive to do it every day. And I'll tell you also, as we continue, after making our review, we ask God, we go to our higher power, the grand universe. I call God the great I am. We go and we inquire what corrective measures. We're not talking to me, the sponsor, because I'm only the human power. I can only give you some suggestions. I'm just the vehicle. As my prior sponsor, Katie P. Katie would say, just the vehicle. Just the vehicle. That's it. I'm not the director. I'm just the vehicle to get you, to give you some pathways that you can reach your own higher power. I'm watching the time, and just correct me if I'm wrong. On awakening is magical, magical, because you set your day. I have to tell you, all the drugs that I was taking for the cancer, I woke up, I was nasty. And I had to distinguish between the drugs and going to my higher power. And going, we consider our plans for the day, and we ask God to direct our thinking. And I could get it right out. Get that right out of the human. The 11th step tells us prayer and meditation. Here it is. Prayer is the asking. Meditation is the answering, is the listening. I do a lot of praying, but do I listen? Do I sit for 7 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes in peace and quiet, listen to my breath, and listen to the answers? And if some of you have problems with meditation, well, which I do and did, the two-way prayer on the internet, Father Bill, he is an AA priest, does a lovely meditation on teaching the two-way prayer through the 11th step. So if you choose to just go on, Google it. Today, I go right to God. I hang out. My God is a very user-friendly, present being that is right there by my side. And as I said, I use this very carefully, because when the top of 87, I love this. What used to be the hunch or the occasional inspiration gradually becomes a part of the mind. I was listening to my pal, Ralph W., talk about the 11th step. And I said, Ralph, how do you hear God? How do you know it's God's direction? And there are a couple of different ways. But for me, is to take the direction, is to think and to look at it, to listen and say, is it honest? Is it pure? Is it selfless? And if I can't hear it, that's fine too, because it tells us that within us, in every man, woman, and child, is the essence of God. And it is your intuition. And we learn to listen to our intuition. And sometimes it doesn't take us in a direction that seems right. And that's fine. It is always correctable. Nevertheless, we find that our thinking will, as time passes, become more and more on the plane of inspiration. We come to rely on it. Got it. That line, if you can remember that, we find that our thinking, as time passes, so it's that muscle that we exercise. And don't do this as a hassle. Do this as, this is freedom. Pause and turn. Another great spiritual leader, Mark H., would say, pause, turn, pray. That pause just separates the anxiety, fear, and crisis. When they told me, yep, it's cancer again. Not good. That pause, reaction, which is, this 15 years ago I got it. God hasn't moved. I've got this again. I know what to do. Pause, turn, go to God. And that is the 11th step, so beautifully outlined. And it tells us when we're agitated, when we're doubtful, the right thought or action will come. You may not hear it the first time. It's okay. If you don't hear it, don't do anything. We constantly remind ourselves we are no longer running the show. That's step three. All of the steps are in this 11th step. If we make this 11th step our daily bread, our lives will unfold magnificently. I can only tell you what has happened to me. And all of the people that I admire and follow and continue to follow, my journey is not over. My AA journey continues to go. And I always want to be teachable. So I leave that with you. If you're not in the book, get in the book. It's so simple. I brought in all kinds of supplemental material, which incidentally, I do read a ton of AA history, and I talk to and go to many, many traditions, and it's so many different types of meetings, but it all emanates from the program of Alcoholics Anonymous, published in 1939, presented to the community, and it is what we have today, right here, simply laid out in the first 106 pages are the steps, such clear-cut instructions. Go through it with a sponsor, get on that road of happy destiny, and trudge means a meaningful, purposeful walk. Trudge that road of happy destiny. Your world will be huge. Thanks so much for asking me to speak today. Thank you, Sunny. Love you.